And with that, you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And what we're doing, we're continuing our study in the issue of the adoption of sons or sonship, which to some, especially in the grace movement, that's considered a bad word to use the terminology of or teaching sonship. And at this point, you have people actively working to make sure that sonship doctrine is no longer taught amongst grace folks. They look upon it as being something that is, they say that it's drawn a divide in the body of Christ. They say that it's something that it's a doctrine that's teaching that there's two different body believers. But again, this is based upon ones who don't understand the doctrine and that are ones that are actively proclaiming that there's an untruth with the doctrine of sonship. And matter of fact, there were two conferences just dedicated to teaching against anyone that teaches sonship doctrine. And that's based upon their failure to fully understand what Paul means when Paul asked us to that we cry Abba Father and what that all entails. And not to belabor the issue, but the issue is so vital and important that we come to understand what it means to cry Abba Father, the importance of what it means to be a son, to be ones who not only are just ones that are just justified, but ones that want to walk in our sanctified positions the way God intended, ones that want to be conformed to the image of his son, which a lot of people assume that you won't be conformed to the image of his son until you get to heavenly places, or that there's the reigning, you cannot reign until you get to heavenly places. What this doctrine teaches is that you're to reign with him today. Also, that we may be also glorified together. And this is what we're beseeched to partake of. And again, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to go over some of the issues of that there. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 12. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And just there at the outset, when you're looking at verse 12 there, when it says, you are debtors, not to the flesh. Well, in other words, you're debtors to the Spirit. You're debtors to what God's word is, what God has done to you, for you. And Paul says that, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. This is a functionally like this. We're not talking about a justification. That's already a settled issue. You're going to live with Christ, live with God as the heir of God. That's already a done deal, a settled issue with God. It was already covered in Romans 3 through 5. But this living is functional life, the living that you are going to do while you're here on this earth. And there's going to be glory which shall be revealed in us in heavenly places. But the living that we're going to do, how we are to function, live unto him, is to be led by the Spirit of God. and our being led by the Spirit is being led by His Word. And this adoption that we have obtained is what we are to acquire as being sons of God, being joint heirs with Christ, based upon the fact of the saint taking the doctrine and applying it as an adult son. And the sufferings that we're going to do, you're going to suffer regardless one way or the other with the sufferings of this present time. But not every saint is going to suffer the sufferings of Christ. And there's a difference. The sufferings of Christ is something that is to be done, as Paul says in the later epistles, that about the ones that are persecuted. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. And that persecution is not just one aspect of it. There's some aspects of it which comes from the saint being affected by this world's course against him. Whereas he want to throw in the towel and not getting his education. Whereas he's in Philippians talks about ashamed and things that, or fearful, like Paul told Timothy, not to have the spirit of fear, but to stir up that gift that he has within him. And these are some of the tactics by the policy of evil against us. But we are told how we are to live on to him. And as Paul says here that in verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And it does. It bears witness. God's word confirms. It bears witness with your spirit that ye are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him. Not suffer for him, but suffer with him. God is being long-suffering. Christ is suffering in this present dispensation that we live in. Now with that, again, I don't want to belabor the issue there, but as you see, and let me give you a little example here. The Corinthian saints, they were heirs of God. The Galatian saints were heirs of God. And they were heirs of God based upon their justified standing in the sight of God. But they had not yet learned how to suffer with Christ yet. That's why the whole second epistle of 2 Corinthians, the whole epistle is dedicated to sufferings. It's dedicated to sufferings because these were things that now they had experienced after Paul delivered unto them that first epistle. Those saints started to come around. They started not to be straightened in their own bowels, as 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says. They started to, as Paul said, they started to enlarge their heart. And when they did that, they experienced the sufferings of Christ. And this is what Paul is going to. Paul writes a large letter unto them, that 2 Corinthians, dedicated to sufferings of Christ. And that's the difference. And now when you look at the Thessalonian saints, they were abounding in their sufferings. They gloried in their sufferings. Paul says that they knew that they were there. He said they were there to appointed unto them, that they were appointed unto sufferings, and that they should expect them. And that is the sufferings of Christ. And when you compare the two saints, and you think about it yourself, you compare the Corinthian saints and the Galatian saints and compare them to the Colossian saints and the Thessalonian saints. The Colossian saints and Thessalonian saints, God said he could utilize them. They were examples to other saints. He says the word of God sounded out from them. Just as an example. Now, the Corinthian saints and Galatian saints were also an example, but in a bad way. They could not be fully utilized by God as sons in Christ. They weren't ready to cry, Abba Father. So when I see saints in the body of Christ who say that the doctrine of sonship or the adoption of sons is causing a divide in the body of Christ, and actually they used a booklet that I printed out, and they used that along with a couple other brothers that teach this issue of sonship, and they say that these guys are causing a divide in the body of Christ. Now, and they made two different conferences based upon it. And what's troubling is that when the saints don't understand this doctrine, it can cause their edification to come to a stall, to come to where there's no growth. There's no growth in the sanctifying doctrine of what God would have you to be in Christ. And again, it's an unfortunate situation there. But can you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6? And we're going to look at the whole issue of how a son can be straightened in his own bowels and how that can cause a troubling ailment within him where he won't be able to get his proper education. And again, we're going to the Corinthians because these were ones who were not an adult son as God would have them to be. They were just learning these doctrines. And Paul is explaining to these Corinthians here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that they had a problem. And the problem was there's no growth. And he was giving them the reason why there's no growth and no edification taking place. 2 Corinthians, let's look at verse 11 here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, let's look at verse 11. I got to get there myself first. Okay. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children. Be ye also enlarged. Now what Paul is explaining to these Corinthians is he's saying that our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now what that means is when you talk about our bowels, or it's talking about our inward parts. And our inward parts is an emotional response to the things we face in life. It's our emotional response to these things based upon our personal likes and our personal dislikes. It's about how our physical bowels, how they're sensitive to our emotions, our affections, our loves, of things we encounter in our lives, and it's based upon our response to these things. And it's about whether we like them or we dislike them, or whether we find pleasure in these things. Now, this is what it means about our bowels. It's about what the inward man finds affectionate to, and what he wants, and what he desires, and what he wants to see succeed in his life, or what he becomes touched by. Now, when Paul says, ye are not straitened in us, over here in 2 Corinthians 6, he says, ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. See, straitened is a ailment issue that we could have in our own bowels. And what Paul means, Paul's saying that if you're not straightened, if you're straightened in your own bowels, that means that you're only desiring the things that concerns you, the things that are going along with your well wishes or your well loving and things like that. But if you are straightened in someone else's, then what that means is that you are receptive to their will, their wishes, their desires, or a plan that someone else might have for you. And the idea is that because we've got our own personal likes, our own personal dislikes, and things that are our goals, these are things that we're not so receptive to conform to someone else's desires and wishes and things. And this is what Paul was trying to bring forth to the Corinthians, that when he says, ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. They weren't willing to conform to what Paul was trying to bring forth onto them by God, meaning that that's why he says, our heart is enlarged, but theirs wasn't. And they had a dislike for what Paul was teaching. They weren't receptive to it, even though they know this was the Father's will and design, but they rather reign as kings. They were balking at being that adult son that God has called for them to be. So let me give you an example of that. Come over to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. And again, when we're looking at the Proverbs, we have to understand it's an interdispensational book. It's going over the behavior of the man, the woman. It's going over doctrine of a teaching from a father to son. And what a proverb means, a proverb is a teaching from an elder onto a young son, a young man. And when I say man, I mean mankind. But so when you see this, of course, this is in Israel's program. But the issue of the Proverbs and the Ecclesiastes, those are doctrinal, interdispensational, doctrinal issues. Now let's take a look at Proverbs 23, verse 15. Proverbs 23, verse 15. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. For surely there is an end. Thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Now, when you look here at verse 15, Proverbs says, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. And this is doctrine given that he's talking about the Lord, how a father to a son's heart can rejoice when that son that is being taught the father's doctrine heart is wise. And verse 16, yea, my reins, that's the inwards. That's his inward, his bowels shall rejoice when thy lips speak the right things. And we can cause the father's inwards to rejoice when we speak the right things, when our heart is wise. And we can cause a rejoicing when we take the education given unto us by the Father, and we can live as sons the way he intended, when we want after the doctrine, when we want to not, as verse 17 here says, verse 17 says, Let not thine heart envy sinners. And we can do this all the time. We can see something and we can long after that. But Israel did that. Israel saw what the other nations were doing and they wanted a part of it. They saw the other nations prospering in certain things and they wanted to reign as kings also. They wanted to go after the sinners of this world. They wanted to, there was an envy. And when your heart envies something, it grows a desire onto it. It grows an affection, not just an affection and a love for it, but it actually longs after it. You become your inward man, your bowels become straitened in your own wishes and desires, not in what someone else has for you or what the Lord has for you. That's why it says here, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And sometimes we can only be in the fear of the Lord when we go to church or when we open the Bible for however long throughout the course of the day. But he says here, fear the Lord all the day long, for surely there is an end, and thine expectations shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. You know, in verse 19, hear thou, my son. It's not just hear it, but hear the doctrine. Find the wisdom in the doctrine. When we hear the doctrine, as Paul says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. When you consider something, you take something, you look at it, you go over it, you go over it again, and you come to have understanding in it. You come to have understanding in it, whereas you can walk in it. And this is he's saying, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. And notice he says, guide thine heart. You're the one doing the guiding here. You're the one that's going to take the initiative to guide your heart in the way, and not in the way of sinners, not in the way of ones who are deterring you to live on to this world and Satan. Now come over to Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to look at the whole issue of the father to son education. This applies to the teaching of a father to son in educating the son in the way of the father's design. See, Paul is giving us, and we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to see how the father is going to do the exact same teaching. And he does in Romans 8. Matter of fact, throughout all of Paul's epistles. Throughout all Paul's epistles, you're going to see the same issues here. Proverbs chapter 1, how Paul is teaching us as a father. And when Paul says, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet not many fathers. Because what a Bible teacher, pastor, preacher, bishop is supposed to do is take the doctrine and give it from a milk to meat education. And he's supposed to go over the doctrine, go over it again. And then, again, whereas he can teach it as a father. Now look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. Proverbs, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now I'm going to stop there. And again, the doctrine, and you're going to notice that with David was a man of war, and Israel prospered during that time, and it showed Israel's dominance of the world, and that they were a nation to be feared because of the God of heaven was with this nation. Solomon was a man of peace. And David was a man after God's own heart. Solomon, a man after God's wisdom. And people came from all around the world to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Kings came from all over to hear Solomon's wisdom. And that's what the doctrine is designed to do. It's something for rulership. And we ourselves are going to, when we have our vocation in heavenly places, we also are going to apply the doctrine that we've learned to our positions of reigning. Now, verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. The wise man will hear and will increase learning. The man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Now, when you see what it says to know wisdom and instruction. And again, when we learn doctrine, you know it, it's to know it, the wisdom of instruction. When you perceive the words of understanding, you take the words of understanding and you perceive something, you look at it at a more magnified sense than you did before when you perceive something. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. When we look at the book of Romans is a wisdom book. It gives you the foundational doctrines from chapter 1 all the way through 16. It gives you the foundational doctrines about God's plan and purpose with us today as being Gentiles in this dispensation of Gentile grace. When you're looking at the justice, you're dealing with 1 Corinthians through Galatians. You're dealing with, because these saints were babes and they were foolish, now you're dealing with the doctrine of correction. You're dealing with something, justice, something that's just in the sight of they're not walking properly. So you're dealing with a justice there. Judgment, you're dealing with Ephesians through Colossians. You're dealing with a son who now has enough doctrine, wisdom, where he's able to make judgment. He's able to understand proper judgment. And that's why you see all throughout, from Ephesians all the way through Colossians, doctrine about wisdom and being wise. Equity, you're dealing with the pastoral epistles, all the way to Philemon. Philemon is a strictly an equity book, dealing with one's inequality and making equitable decisions based upon love, agape love, and how to handle decision-making. We see Paul do it all the time, like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, Romans chapter 9. When Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire, I wish for my kinsmen according to the flesh that I be accursed. He didn't say it in those particular in that particular way, but he says, I say the truth in Christ and I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And Paul had that great desire in his heart and great love that's equitable, that's an equitable saying. Now, here in verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain to wise counsels. And subtlety is something that's given to a simple son. And that's not simple as simple-minded. It just means it's a terminology of being basic, being on a foundational standing, not having all the proper doctrines as he should. And that subtlety, it's not a deceitful way, even though it could be used that way. It's a cunning way. It's a way of a well-designed way that they get that education. The young man knowledge and discretion, as we talked about in Ephesians through Colossians. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And what that means, a wise man's going to hear, and it doesn't say he's going to increase in learning, he's going to increase learning. He's going to be able to teach others. That's what it means by and will increase learning. He's going to teach others so they can teach others. The man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. This is a man who's able to teach others that teach others. He's one that is able to use equitable decisions. He's able to be one that is the overseer and things of that nature to teach others. Now come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to look at a couple things here, and we might have to look at a couple other things. But come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 13 there. Matter of fact, we'll go back to verse 11. Verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is enlarged unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Now let's stop there, because Paul is beseeching them that they be enlarged. That's that enlarging of the heart, that they be ones that are not straitened in their own bowels, but be ones that are straitened in him, in what he's trying to accomplish. And this we've seen that over here about the in Proverbs about the enlarging of the heart and the reins of God being the rejoicing when our heart is enlarged. Verse 14: Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with the infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saying the Lord Almighty. Now, in looking at this here, Paul is referring back to something that God has said over there in Leviticus. And he's going back to Isaiah. He's going back to Jeremiah. These are verses that he's referring back to in Israel's program. But he's referring back to these things based upon the father to son, the father to son issues of getting the doctrine, walking in your father's way, not having fellowship with unbelievers or communion or concord or part or agreement with this world. And he gives you an example that he explains: what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part? He goes to these things to show you that be ye also separate. Walk not in that way. And when he says be ye also separate, this is something that we have to do. This is something that we ought to live by. And as in the first part of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 1 and 2, he says, we then as workers together with him. Do you see that also when you see the suffering with Christ? We then are workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. Now look, he's going back to the Old Testament again. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And you're looking at this here, it's talking about you got to lay hold of this. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the, do not receive the grace of God in vain. And some do. this is why he's explaining to the saints here that in order for God to look upon ones, he says that I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Well, that's already an issue there. But to allow God's word to yourself to be led by the Spirit, led by His word, you yourself have to be ones that are doing as verses 13, 14, 15, and 16 says, and actually 17, come from out among them. Be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now let's come back to 1 Kings. And again, we just want to look at the issue here about the David and the Solomon issue and how the father to the son was looked upon in the sight of God. And for the 1 Kings and chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3. And again, this is not doctrine that we're to live by. This is showing the father to son relationship there and how that is a godly importance to understand about that heart, to understand about going after father's wisdom versus this world's. 1 Kings chapter 3, let's look at verse 7. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. I am but a little child, but I know how to go out or come in. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked thy life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Now what the Lord did is gave Solomon what he asked for, a wise and understanding heart. Because what the father said was, because you haven't asked for long life, which this world does, men of this world does that, riches for thyself, which is another thing this world does, nor ask the life of thine enemies. At that time, Israel was being afflicted. There were many enemies, all encompassing Israel. They were envious of how the Israelites were living based upon God's dealings with them and God blessing them as a nation. So they were envious to take what Israel had. But all Solomon asked for is understanding to discern judgment as one that reigns. And that's what God would have her for us, ones that reign in this present dispensation. That's what it's about. It's about you reigning not as kings according to this world, but you reigning with Christ in this present dispensation and using the discerning and judgment of God's word. But you have to have a wise and understanding heart. And that's all based upon that son wanting his father's education. Him wanting to be as what his father called him to be. And let's go back to the Proverbs again. I need to go back and forth here, but let's go to Proverbs chapter 2, and we're going to see that issue there. I should have stopped off there before, but didn't. Proverbs chapter 2, let's look at verse 1. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. And notice what he says here. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. When you hide someone, when you're talking about hiding those commandments with him, that's not just listen to it and it goes in one ear right out the other ear, but it's take it and put it down within your inward parts, within the bowels. You hide it down there, so I'm not saying so you won't be able to find it yourself, but so that you don't lose it. You know, you can hide something. Sometimes we hide things away from ourselves sometimes. But this is a different sense there. It's taken and placed within you so you won't lose track of it. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. When you incline your ear, you actually hone in on that thing. You incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. When you apply thine heart to something, when you apply something, you know, you hear the same people say, well, I apply my time to doing this, or I apply my time to doing that. That means that you're putting in work. You're specifically doing something honed on that event there. And he says here, apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge. When you're crying after it, that's based upon the emotions, as I said at the outset, with the bowels. Your inward bowels, your inward parts, deals with your emotions. And that means something that you're very emotional after. If thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, wanting it. It's almost like if a child is, you know, when you're in school and you lift up your hand, you lift up your hand because you want to ask a question. You're taking the initiative to want to know more. You want more understanding. Verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver, searchest for her as hid treasures. And we know how a man could be if everyone was told they had silver and hid treasures in their backyard. They wouldn't just let it go by. They would seek for it. They'd long after it. And this is what we're told here. We're told how we're to set our ear, our heart, our mind, our affections. Verse 5, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord. And when he said, when you do these things based upon from what verse 1 says to verse 4, receive the words of God, hide the commandments within thee, incline thy ear. And when it says commandments, I'm not saying that we're to take the 613 commandments of the law and hide them within. That's not what I'm saying here. When we're led by the Spirit of God, we are led by His Word and how we're taught to treat one another. Romans 6, the doctrine of Romans 6, all the way throughout, explains to us the will of God for us today. And it is those, and Paul even tells us that, Paul says, the things that I write unto you, the commandments of the Lord. It's the way God would have us to walk and how he would not have us to walk. But it's not as with Israel. With Israel, there was, if you don't hearken unto my commandments, then I'll punish you. That's not what's going on here. Verse 5, it says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And that's because we cried after, we sought after, we searched for it, we received it. We hid his word within us. We inclined our ear unto wisdom. We inclined our heart to understanding. Verse 6, for For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth, cometh knowledge. The Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And the Lord giveth wisdom, and the Lord's not going to give us wisdom by us just sitting and praying for it and asking for it. Well, we can let the Lord know our heart's desire that we come to learn his doctrine more. We come to understand his word more. But the Lord is not going to pour it out in our head. We have to turn the pages of the book and read it. We have to seek after it and search for it, cry after it, lift up our voice for it, incline our ear onto it. And we'll get the knowledge and understanding. Verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walketh uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment. He preserveth the way of his faith. This is what his word does. His word does these things when we have done what verses 1 through 4 says. That's why it says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness, judgment, and equity, yea, every good path. Because there's going to be paths for you in your life. You're going to live regardless, one way or the other. But we are to live a functional life up onto God. We are to live as adult sons in Christ, ones that want to be more than just justified, ones that want to understand righteousness and what that's about, judgment, and how to judge things in a godly way. Because when we judge things, that's you coming to understand what God loves, understanding what God hates, understanding why he hates these things and why he loves these things, understand his emotions in these things, understanding what emotion, like the verse we've seen over there in Proverbs 29, about his heart can rejoice when our lips speak the right things. That's understanding when our lips speak the right things, we affect the emotion of God when we do that. His heart can rejoice when we speak the right things. His inwards, his reins can rejoice in things of that nature. And that's the whole issue of understanding judgment, how you can, like as Paul says, prove what is that acceptable and perfect will of God. And not just only take those things and prove it and say, would this be holy and acceptable unto God, or would this be? Not just that, but being able to also finding things that excel what we just produced the last time in a judgment way. And then equity, wanting the betterment for other things. Not just understand, and equity, it's not just as a Boy Scout who helps a little old lady across the street or a person making charitable contributions to kids in Africa or things like that. That the unsaved can do that. But an equitable decision is a saint wanting the betterment and success for another saint above himself. For him to want, as the Romans 12 doctrine explains to you about you preferring one to another over yourself. For you not only wanting preferring a saint over you, but you want him to succeed more than yourself. You want his education to grow all the more and all the more. That's why when you're dealing with the doctrine of Romans 12, the next thing you get into Romans 13, doctrine of Romans 13, you start to see different doctrine. You start to see as a fully educated son, by the time you get to Romans 12, you ought to be one that can prove it. It tells you how to treat the government and about how that son should not ought to be caught up in the affairs of what the government is doing, that he's subject to whatever the government says. And what I mean by that is just say gay marriage, for instance. Now how God looks upon that and how we ought to look upon that too. But not that you partake in it, but you're supposed to understand, as Christ said, render unto Caesar's what Caesar's. That because if man says that gay marriage is legal, we're not supposed to go against the system and buck the system. That doesn't mean you're to do it, but there's nothing you can do against it, but you're subject onto it. Are you supposed to understand it and understand the proper thinking towards it? Then the next chapter you get to is Romans 14. It talks about the weaker brethren. It talks about the weaker brethren and how the ones that are strong in the faith ought to handle and have a proper understanding of the weaker brethren. And you want them to succeed. Then verse 15, it says, we then are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. That's dealing with equity, making equitable decisions. Proverbs 2, verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And that's the end goal there, is that discretion and understanding. Now, discretion shall preserve you, and understanding will keep you. Why? Because wisdom entered into thine heart, and the knowledge of it is pleasant unto the soul. And do you remember in Proverbs 29, when we've seen Proverbs 29, when it says, my son, if thy heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. My reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right thing. Let not thine heart envy sinners. But it explains that, our heart's going to rejoice when we do this. Hear thou, my son, be wise, guide thine heart in the way, in the proper way, the proper path. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 8 there, and we're going to close here. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8, and let's take a look at the doctrine there. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the Spirit of God, by which again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. As Paul says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What Paul is saying here, in a sense, being that son, being what we just talked about, being the doctrine we just went over. And you can be, and we are the sons of God and daughters of God when we do as what 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says. And Paul is not saying, when he says sons of God, he's not talking about being that heir of God, because that belongs to every justified person in Christ. Now, the Corinthians and Galatians were not walking as sons of God, adult sons of God, because they were not being led by the Spirit of God. They were heirs. They were heirs of God. But what Paul means here is about being led by the Spirit of God. He's talking about being led by the Word of God. And come back to verse 9. We're going to just look at this here. We're going to close. Come back to verse 9, Romans 8, verse 9. Verse 8, we'll go to verse 8. Matter of fact, let's go to verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And that's what we looked at that. We looked at the ones that are walking in the flesh, they which are, as we've seen in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you have agreement with this world, or concord, or fellowship with this world, you cannot please God. God cannot utilize you. And Paul says, verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. And that's conditional. That's conditional. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Now, if it just stopped there, then you could say, okay, well, then that's not conditional. Paul says, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, we'll just stop there, but he's saying that if we have the Spirit of God dwells in us. And as we've seen over in Ephesians and Colossians about that Word of God dwelling richly within you, that's the idea of us being led by the Spirit of God, being sons of God. And this is what we have to understand about this adoption. And Paul says, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. You notice that word received, as we see in the Proverbs about, and even 2 Corinthians. Even when the Lord said, I will receive him, receive them, and they will be my sons and my daughters. It's about you taking the initiative to want to be all God has called you to be. You wanting to fully grasp what his will and knowledge is for you as being sons and daughters in Christ. Being ones that want to understand the fellowship of his sufferings, that want to glory in his sufferings, want to be ones who will live unto him. And what we're going to do is we're going to be looking at the whole issue of suffering of this present time. It's going to be a very essential doctrine to go over. And we're going to go over this the next few weeks. Matter of fact, we might spend a month going over this issue here. But we're going to be looking at the sufferings of this present time and how we are to, as sons and daughters in Christ, want to understand the sufferings of this present time, that we all are going to go through the sufferings of this present time and how we ought to respond to the sufferings of this present time. And what that means is sickness, death, crime, sufferings out of our own stupidity, how we ought to deal with these things, how we ought to understand these things where we can be more than a conqueror through these things, where we can be persuaded that, you know, understand that Christ is for us in the things that we go through. And we're going to be looking at these things over the next more than likely a month. We're going to see how long the study pans out. But with that, I'm going to close and open things up for the Q&A session. *61 will get you into the queue. *61 will get you into the queue. And I think that's a very essential doctrine because we all, whether it's ourselves or our loved ones, we all go through the sufferings of this present time. But it's how we view these things as sons and daughters in Christ, whereas we can learn to fellowship with him in these sufferings. And we learn to apply them to our life and live by them and learn to glory in them. I'm going to take the first caller here. 3366, you're in the queue.
How you doing, Pastor Ron Jones?
Pretty good. How are you doing? This is Janice. How you been?
Great. Yourself. I heard from you for a while. I've been listening. I've been falling asleep. But I have been listening to your playbacks. Okay. And there was a question on one of them playbacks, I think, about you had said that some saints is not going to suffer the same way Christ suffered. Say, for instance, you know, like Paul went through the shipwreck and he got stoned and hit and real bad and stuff like that and just went out the way for when he was sharing the good news. And you said something about that like, some saints ain't going to go through that. Could you explain that to me a little bit?
Sure. Glad you brought that up. Just for instance, you know, you have the sufferings of this present time. The sufferings of this present time, every saint, every unbeliever is going to go through the sufferings of this present time. But the sufferings of Christ is not something that all saints are going to go through, because the sufferings of this present time is what you see the other saints, the Philippian saints. And when you look at the book of Philippians, you can see that Paul was in prison, and Paul was explaining some of them were also suffering. You look at the Thessalonian saints, they were also suffering of their countrymen. Timothy was suffering. Paul was writing from prison that he gloried in his sufferings. And when you look at one of the prison that Paul was in at the time, it wasn't what you see today, the type of prison that Paul was in. And Paul was explaining these things that you're pointed onto these things and you should glory in them. And not all saints are going to go through that type of suffering, that persecution, the whole issue of getting to the point where you want to throw in the towel, where you say, you know what, I don't want to get this education based upon fear, based upon being ashamed. You know yourself, you present the doctrine to many people, but you receive opposition that other saints who just understood the doctrines, they're not even going to go through. So that's what, there's a difference between ones that suffer with Christ and ones that just go through the sufferings of this present time.
Okay. So it's different with suffer with Christ and suffer at this present time. Oh my God, go through the suffering as like as you would, and another saint, a believer in Christ and trust Christ to say, well, we all gonna go through sufferings, but maybe different expectations, right? Sort of.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Everyone goes through the sufferings of this present time. Because we all are under the bondage of corruption. But the sufferings of Christ deals with the doctrine, deals with you presenting that doctrine to ones, or you yourself suffering with things that you're giving up of this world, or you when you go to prove what is that acceptable and perfect will of God, and you receive resistance in that, or things of this world hindering you, being a stumbling block onto you. Those are the sufferings of Christ that some saints who we present the doctrine onto, they might not never deal with it again, but they're justified.
Okay.
They're on their way to heaven. They are heir of God, but they're not going to go through the sufferings of this present time as we would.
Oh, okay. That's self-explanatory. Okay, I appreciate that. I apologize for being asleep, but I'm catching up with you on the replay and everything. I had to say something to Pastor Ron and everything, but I enjoy your teaching and learning a lot from it. And just wanted to say that to your family and everybody and stuff like that. I sure appreciate you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you too, and I appreciate the comment. And you know, and actually, that was it might have helped others. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Right now. Bye bye. Take care. Bye. And again, I'm glad for that question there because it might have made clarification to others come out a little more. But again, next week we're going to go over the issue of sufferings, the sufferings of this present time, and how we can be ones to understand this thing and understand that it's not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, and how we're to do that. And with that, I'll